Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. I hope that this finds you doing well this week, wherever you are and whatever you find yourself doing. This week, I want to just take a moment to share with you some ideas, some concepts, some thoughts that were revolutionary for me when I first discovered them. We're going to begin with John chapter 5, verse 40, the words of Jesus, where he's saying to the religious leaders of his day, he's saying, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you find eternal life. These are they that testify of me, and you won't come to me. You refuse to come to me in order to have life. Each one of us is born with a deeply rooted question, and that question can come in many forms. Some people are asking, do I matter? Who am I? Do I make a difference? What is my worth? Am I significant? We're born with a heart that is very hungry and continually searching to find out whether or not we matter. Psalm 63, David taps into this, he expresses this in verse 1, where he says, earnestly I seek, I thirst, my whole being longs in a dry and parched land where there is no water. This is what the fall in the very beginning actually even revolved around, which was an endeavor in Adam and Eve, once they were deceived about the character of God, it was an endeavor to get life from a source other than the life source that they were originally intended to get their life from. In other words, they were trying to eat or get life from the knowledge of good and evil. And we could spend a whole podcast just talking about that. But I want to talk about this life, this getting life from alternate sources this week first. In today's Western individualistic culture, there's a reaching after, there's a hunger for worth, for value, for identity, for security, for life, that we're seeking to find satisfaction from a myriad of different sources. Today, folks seek to get life from either their success, their family's approval, their social strata. They're trying to define themselves by their possessions, their sex appeal, how in shape they are. For some, though, it's even their religion. Their religion is what defines them. It's their religion that gives them life. And this is, I want you to understand what I mean by that. This isn't God per se, but it's the way in which they worship God that they're getting life from. The way in which they behave or the rightness of their beliefs in relation to God that they're getting life from. And sadly, for many, all of these pursuits end up just being endless pursuits of always feeling hungry and can never quite get full. And one of the elements of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish was that his kingdom offered a new source for humanity to get its worth or its value, its security, its assurance, its what defines it, its identity or life. He said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 4:14, he said this to the woman at the well, those who drink the water that I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give them will become inside of them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. This life would be rooted and grounded, I believe, in a revelation of God and his character of love. This is found in John 17:3, but it really is the heart of everything that Jesus was about. When we see God the way that Jesus came to portray him, or to reveal him, it speaks volumes about what our personal worth and value is to God. In turn, that gives us security. It gives us assurance. It gives us meaning, purpose. It gives us an identity. And I'll explain what I mean by this as we go on. But this revelation of how deeply we are in the heart of God, Jesus knew it would begin to define us. It would begin to be a new source of life. It would be this getting life from God's estimation of every person on this planet that would characterize those who are part of this new kingdom. Excuse me. This getting life from God's estimation of me is a key element of the experience of those that are in Christ's kingdom. I want to walk you through a little exercise here for a moment, and I want to encourage you to really put some effort into this. I want you to listen to the following statements that I'm about to make, and I want you to try and decipher where the people in these situations are currently getting their life. Let's try. We're going to go slow. It says, a couple with two kids purchase a bigger and more luxurious house than they need, even though it means they'll both have to work more and see each other less. What is it that's defining this couple? What is it that they're getting their life from, their worth from, their value? Let's read another one. A Hindu woman prays to a shrine of Vishnu 3 times a day. Despite failing health, one of the world's 950 or so billionaires continues to work 15 or more hours a day and rarely takes a vacation. A middle-aged man leaves his wife of 20 years to move in with a woman half his age, and he also starts smoking cigarettes and driving a Harley. A perfectly normal-looking middle-aged woman spends a year's salary on breast implants, a facelift, a tummy tuck, and thigh reductions. She then becomes unsatisfied with the size of her lips and her nose. A Christian, quote-unquote, group carries signs like "God hates fags" as they picket the military burial of a gay Marine. Despite having a sexually transmitted disease, a young woman compulsively engages in sexual intercourse with virtual strangers on a regular basis. One teen stabs another at school in relation for being publicly insulted. A pastor habitually gossips about others. A husband and father puts his family in financial distress by continuing to pursue his gambling addiction behind their backs. Even though she is a wildly successful adult, a middle-aged woman cannot seem to break free from the tremendous need within her to continually gain her parents' approval of all her activities. Were you able in this list to see the different sources that these people are using to try and get their life from? In Jesus' day, although sinners were wildly attracted and drawn to Jesus' offer of a new source of life, the religiously conservative leaders were strongly opposed to this aspect of his kingdom. See if you can decipher where they're getting their life from. Once again, in John 5:39 and 40, Jesus said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in understanding them you gain life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." These were well-meaning religious folks who were seeking to get life from the rightness of their belief or the rightness of their behavior, their religion. And when Jesus came offering himself instead, they were so invested in the deceptive nature of religion that they rejected the very one who could have satisfied their heart's deepest longings. Jesus was calling us not into a religion, but into a relationship. He came to establish, once again, not a religion, but a kingdom. Now, as I close this week, I want to ask you two separate but related questions. The first one is, how do you know how much something is worth? Say, a car or a house or a piece of art. How do you know how much those things are worth? Isn't the worth of an item simply what someone is willing to pay for it? Now, if that's true, now let's back up and ask a second question. How much would you say God is worth? And this is the tricky part, because we can't measure God's worth. His worth is infinite. It's immeasurable. It's inestimable. But this is just the point. You see, we have to ask the question, how much was God willing to give, to put on the line, to risk, in order to ransom you? You see, in other words, how do we know how much something is worth? Well, how much is someone willing to pay for it? Well, let's ask this about ourselves. How much are we worth? What's our value? What's our estimation? What tells us that we matter? Well, here's the kicker. How much was God willing to give to get you, to ransom you? Jesus reveals that God emptied himself. He risked it all. He gave up all to save you. Now, what does that say? What does this say about your significance? What does this say about your worth and your value? If you will allow this idea that I am sharing with you right now, as it becomes clearer to you in these few moments, if you will allow this idea to begin defining you, you get your identity from this. This is what you are. Then you will begin to have meaning and purpose and life from what God says, not just about himself on Calvary, but what God on Calvary was saying about your worth to him. How much was God willing to give to get you? I'm submitting to you this week that God was willing to give up all he was to get you. And that means quite simply that whoever you are right now, regardless of your belief, your race, gender, orientation, behavior, social strata, success, possessions, your intelligence or your lack of intelligence, your appearance, you, right now at this very moment as you're listening to these words, you, just the way you are worth everything to God. He made a statement on the cross about you. Not only does the cross reveal the truth about him, it reveals the truth about you. It reveals the truth about what your worth is, what your significance is to the God of this universe. It was as if God, being willing to give up all he had, was answering the question in every human heart, saying to me, in my heart, right now, you, to me, are of infinite, immeasurable, inestimable significance, inestimable value, inestimable worth, so much so that I would give up all I am to get you. Let this define you. This is the living water. Jesus told that dear lady at the well that day, basically, I know everything there is to know about you. And why was he revealing this to her? To let her know that those things don't need to define her anymore. I know everything there is to know about you, and my offer's still on the table. You cannot quench what is in my heart for you. What Jesus was saying to her was, stop letting your failed marital past define you. And whatever it is that you're allowing to define you that's not filling your hungry heart, that's not satisfying your hungry heart, stop trying to define yourself by those things and allow what your worth is to me to begin defining who you are. When your heart can grasp this truth, all other sources of life become, like the scriptures speak, broken cisterns. They become empty. They become obsolete. Understanding what God said not only about himself but also about you is a foundational element of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and a member of his kingdom. This week, I encourage you, I know the voices in your head, but don't fight with what I'm sharing with you. Don't argue with it. Just submit to it. Let what God says about you and your worth to him on the cross define you. Don't settle for competing identities. Live in the love that rages in God's heart for you. And may it become a well, like Jesus said to the woman, a wellspring of love that changes how you see yourself, how you see God, and how you see all others around you that you relate to. Remember, although he gave up all of this just for you, he did the same thing for everyone else too, and this should radically change the way we view the world around us. When you stop and realize what it was Jesus was saying, it's no wonder that sinners were attracted to him. And it's no wonder that the religious people of his day crucified him. This week, in light of the value, worth, security, assurance, and identity that Christ gave you on the cross, bask in this love and go out and reflect it to the world around you. I love you guys. Keep building the kingdom. Keep living in what God says about you on the cross. We'll see you next week.